Hello, and welcome to My Daily Talks, the show where we explore the incredible, unexpected stories of everyday people. I'm your host, Sarah, and I am so glad you're here with us today. What happens when the one thing that defines your entire existence is ripped away in an instant? When the dream you've poured every ounce of your being into just vanishes? My guest today lived that nightmare. He was on the fast track to becoming a professional rugby player here in New Zealand, but a single moment changed everything. Today, he's found a new purpose in a place he never, ever expected. Joining me from Auckland is Tane Kauri. Tane, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, sweet is. Thanks for having me.
So let's go back before everything changed. Paint a picture for us of Tane, the rugby player. What was that life like?
It was everything. From when I was a kid, that was the goal. To play for the Blues, maybe the All Blacks one day. My whole life was just training, eating, sleeping, playing. On the pitch, I was a lock. Big guy, you know, 125 kilos. My job was to be the engine, the muscle. There's a clarity to it. You know your job. You know your role. The world makes sense.
A clarity. I like that. It sounds like you had your entire future mapped out. And then came the trial for the Auckland Blues U20 squad. You were 19. Can you take us to that moment?
Yeah, it's still pretty vivid. It was the final trial. Everything was on the line. I went into a ruck, same as I've done 1,000 times. But this time, I just felt this pop. A loud one in my knee. It wasn't just pain. It was a feeling of something coming apart. I knew straight away, before the physio even got to me, I knew it was over.
Oh, wow. A shredded ACL, the report said. Just like that, the dream was gone. What does a 19-year-old do when his entire identity just evaporates?
Not much for a while. I was a ghost. Watched my mates go on to get contracts. I'd put all my eggs in that one basket, you know? Didn't have the grades for uni. So I drifted. Ended up doing security work. My size was the only thing I had left from rugby that was worth anything.
And that led you to your current job as head of security at the Silk Orchid, an upscale gentlemen's club. You've described that period as being in purgatory, just waiting.
Yeah, it was a dead end, just a paycheck. I wasn't proud of it. I just stood at the door, watched people come and go. It wasn't a life. It was just existing.
But then, one night, something happened that changed your perspective completely. A violent stag do. I have to ask a blunt question, Tane, because it comes with the territory of your job. You've ever got your ass kicked at work?
Yeah, that was the night. It was a messy one. This groom's ex-girlfriend turned up, and her new boyfriend was with her. He was looking for trouble. Sucker punched my manager, Diane. She's in her 50s, tough as nails, but he just laid her.
Oh my God. So what did you do?
What I had to. I stepped in, subdued the guy, got him on the ground, but then three of his mates jumped in. For a couple of minutes, I was on the floor and they were, yeah, they were giving me a hiding. Kicks, punches. They ran off before things got too serious.
That's terrifying. You were protecting your manager.
Yeah, and that was the thing. Afterwards, Diane was cleaning a cut on my head. She was a bit shaken up, but she just looked me dead in the eye and said, "You're a good man, Tane. You protect people. This place, it's just a stepping stone, eh? Don't let it be a cage." It was a hard case moment. Her words hit me harder than any of those punches.
Wow. Don't let it be a cage. What did that do to you?
It woke me up. I realized that instinct, the one that made me step in without thinking, to protect her, that part of me wasn't broken. My knee was gone, the rugby dream was gone, but that was still there. The next week, I enrolled in a part-time criminology course at the university.
That is an incredible turning point. So now you're still working at the club, but you see it differently. It's no longer a cage. You call it a field study. What does that mean in practice? Are you applying what you learn in class to your job?
Every night. Learning about de-escalation, victimology, it changes how you see things. You're not just dealing with a drunk idiot. You're dealing with the factors that lead him to be a drunk idiot. You see the vulnerabilities.
Does that change how you interact with patrons and the dancers? For example, have you ever had to go into a private room and remove a guy because of his behavior towards one of the women?
Yeah, it happens. But the goal is for it not to get to that point. The girls are smart. They can usually handle themselves. But my job is to be the backstop. Now, instead of just using my size to intimidate, I try to use my words. I watch body language. I try to be the calm in their storm. Studying this stuff, it gives you a framework for the chaos. And empathy, I suppose, for everyone in that building.
It sounds like you've completely reframed your purpose. You're still a protector, just on a very different field.
Yeah, I guess so. The goal is to finish the degree, get into a line of work where I can protect people on my own terms. But for now, this is my classroom. It's not pretty, but it's real.
Tani, your story is just, it's one of the most powerful stories of reinvention I have ever heard. Thank you so much for sharing it with us.
No worries. Sweet is.
Tani's story is such a powerful reminder that sometimes our greatest setbacks are actually setups for a different, maybe even more meaningful path. It makes you wonder, what happens when we stop mourning the life we thought we'd have and start building a new one with the pieces we have left? It's a thought I'll be sitting with for a while. Thank you for listening to My Daily Talks. I'll be back tomorrow with another story. Take care.